I'm always disappointed when liars' pants don't actually catch on fire. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
You caught the eclipse today. It's all the news we'll talk about, and a big event. Melissa called in the last hour. She was in Indiana. Co-host Melissa, who comes in on Wednesdays. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show, by the way, and welcome to K-Talks, K-T-O-X. Glad to have you aboard. Many stations coming on, and really happy about that. It'll be great to have K-Talks. And I just wanted to mention that, of course, Melissa was talking about how astonishing it was, how it was just an incredible experience. I'm sure it was. Minutes and minutes of darkness and frogs chirping and doing their thing. And I mean, I can't imagine feeling like you can see the stars and it's nighttime and in the middle of the day. Very, very cool experience. We have Dr. Duke Pesta on with us, of course. Dr. Duke comes on every Monday at this time. He is the only conservative professor that speaks out in the way that he does, and I sure love him for it. He's been a professor a long time, and he can kind of tell us a little bit about the students and what he's thinking and what he's observing today. And there is a topic in which I'm going to ask him about that a little bit later in the show. But welcome to the show, Dr. Duke Pesta. How are you?
Thanks, guys. Good to be on with you.
The eclipse. What are your thoughts?
You know, your audience, if they've been listening for a long time, know I'm the resident contrarian. It's just all a little too weirdly pagan to me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so at nighttime you see the stars, at the daytime you see the sun, and once in 100 years that changes for 4 or 5 minutes. To me, it's not worth driving 300 miles and flooding some small town in Missouri snarling up traffic to be able to see it. But more power to the people who like it. I don't know. I mean,
everybody has their things. I mean, this was, they did a state of emergency in Texas and a state of emergency in Indiana. And I kind of wondered why in the world they would do that, because I get that there's a lot of influx of people, but it's not like it's all gang members and rioters. I mean, there's no reason to do a state of emergency to get Fed money for something like that. So I thought that was way over the top. But I do feel like what Melissa said, it was an astonishing thing to see and witness. Cool, right?
But I'm somebody who takes absolutely no pleasure whatsoever in beaches.
Right.
I mean, heat, sand in your jock. the salt air corroding everything. It just, thank you. And then a big ocean full of really big things that would like to eat you. Give me a pool in some Motel 6.
Right.
As long as there's no kids, as long as there's no kids peeing in it, give me the little 4.5-foot pool. I'll be just fine.
Okay, but what are you wowed by? What wows Dr. Duke Pesta?
Oh, you're not going to like to hear this. Give me a nice mahogany library full of the great books of Western culture. Give me one of that.
Right.
Give me a beautiful
cigar?
Medieval cathedral from top to bottom.
Architecture. Okay. Maybe some architecture.
Absolutely.
Okay. Architecture and maybe some intellectual capacity.
I absolutely love painting. I mean, I guess I'm more impressed with the wonderful things that human beings can do with the gifts God give them than we expect the things that God created directly, like nature, to be beautiful.
Right.
So I'm almost more impressed when a painter can capture nature in a way that you were never able to contemplate seeing it itself. I'll tell you what bothers me the most. Mm-hmm. These bumper stickers that say, "Nature is my church." It just pisses me off.
Me too. I don't like it.
And go back to what I said before. There's a certain paganism to this, right? The same pseudo-scientific people who are screaming about global warming, they're the same ones who despise religion. I had a kid just last week tell me, and he came up to me after class and he said, "Dr. Pesta, I just want to let you know, I just got out of my humanitarian, humanities environmental class. This is a required class, an environmental humanities course. Mm-hmm. Right? That's like an oxymoron, right?
Right, right.
The humanities have nothing to do with science. So, but he came up to me and said, my professor just said in the class before this that Christianity is primarily responsible for global warming. And I laughed out loud, and I didn't surprise me, but I wanted to know the reason. So what was the reason? And his professor said to him, Christians believe in heaven, which takes their mind off the way we're destroying the world here. And so ergo, Christians are primarily responsible
for
global warming. Yeah, he said that. And I asked the kid, I said, well, why did he just pick Christians?
Yeah.
Buddhists believe in a kind of heaven. So do Muslims. And why are you, is he blaming Christians?
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's a good point. He only blamed Christians for believing in heaven.
Amazing.
No other religion was believed. And so this was clearly what you would expect. When you have a mandatory class on environmental humanities, you can damn well bet it has nothing to do with the humanities. It's anti-human, right? And so there you go. It's a way of picking on Christians. There's a certain paganism in what bothers me about the global warming morons. And I'm not talking about the very few scientists who deal with climate. And I'm talking about the sociologists, the psychologists, the politicians who don't know their elbow from their arm. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that are, you know, attacking Christianity, talking about how religion is discriminatory and unnecessary and irrational. And yet 5 seconds later, they'll pivot talking to about the Earth Mother or killing Gaia, right? This is the new paganism, and this weird church is my nature is my church stuff. When I see this kind of weird behavior, the way we rally around these faux environmental milestones, like it's the end of the world, is weird to me.
Well, me too. You know, Christians typically, because of the scripture reading we all do, they're good stewards of this earth, and that's really what we're supposed to be. And what's funny about the whole nature bumper sticker, and I saw that awful show in Vegas in the big globe where they're spinning that Mother Earth is our mother and God had nothing to do with anything, is the fact that they could worship the earth, but not the creator of the earth.
Right.
So worshiping the thing that he created as if it's him, but not. So you're cutting out, carving out the creator and only looking at this beautiful earth and worshiping it like it's your mother. It's a very bizarre thing to me, and not good. Yeah.
It's exactly what the Old Testament says. Mm-hmm. You will come to worship the work of your own hands and not me. Right.
Right.
What is so self-congratulatory about all of this, and that includes for a lot of people, this eclipse, is this idea that all that repressed religion, all that repressed need to worship God, because here's the thing, God made us. Do you not realize that if God made us, he left his thumbprint on us? Mm-hmm. Even anthropologists don't believe in God will say that human beings are hardwired to worship something, to need something bigger than themselves.
Right.
Even the atheists recognize that. We call it spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I call it repressed religion. All the ways that we should be venerating through this eclipse, the God who created such a wonderful universe, now it stops at the level of nature. And here's the problem with that. When we're dealing with paganism, then there is a God for everything. There's a God for sex, a God for theft, a God for, you name whatever social evil there is, there's a God that represents it. If nature is the limit of our spirituality, well, nature's mum about morality. In much of nature, it's kill or be killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bigger animals take what they want from the weaker animals, right? The dominant male forces himself on the weak female, and there's not much he can do about it, right?
Right.
And the minute she's pregnant, he walks away and finds another one. If nature is the apex of our spiritual understanding, then of course amorality, anti-morality, even goofy things like transgender becomes normative. Think about the Greeks. They created the hermaphrodite, right?
Right.
Hermes, the male god, Aphrodite, the female god. Think about how in Greek mythology, you had centaurs, half man, half human, satyrs, half goat, half human, right? Minotaurs, half bull, half human. And everyone was having sex about it with everybody, and there were no boundaries. There was rape. The gods themselves were rapists. And so how can the gods of Olympus condemn rape when Zeus was out raping young nymphs all the time? That's the limit of it. And I think that's the appeal of naturalism or the same thing that drives a lot of people to the eclipse.
Right.
You can have a cozy sense of God, Mother Earth, but she demands absolutely nothing from you other than your own desires. And that's weak sauce to me.
I'm not going to disagree with you, because an event on its own can be astonishing. It can be something to take in, that if you're lucky enough to be in the zone, that you got to see this really cool event. But then how much do we make of it? What are we doing with that event? And so you're talking about elevating it to a level that it's a little bizarre.
But there's no difference between you and me. Right. I recognize those things as
beautiful.
I know an ocean is beautiful, even if it scares the hell out of me. But so we're not disagreeing.
No, I know.
I'm simply saying that is the work of God. And to a right-thinking person, that would lead them beyond the natural world to contemplate the origin of these wonderful miracles.
So,
but for us, in the progressive world, it's a way of avoiding responsibility and accountability. In other words, the nature she's not our God. And I've made this point many times. If nature is the only God, then she's the weakest God in the history of the world. If crawling ants like her can so easily destroy us, destroy her, she wasn't a God to begin with.
Right. So this is my deal on the eclipse. You know, when I look at the scriptures and I think, you know, there's signs in the stars, there's signs in all of these things. I think there are signs for all kinds of things. I think there could be with this. But that's kind of where it ends for me. It's like, okay, well, it's nice to take in. It's a good reminder. It's we're not in charge of anything. We can't do anything with your plastic bag. You can't take away the eclipse with your plastic bags. You can't dictate what time the sun comes up in the morning, and all that is kind of beholden to God. The rest of it and what we do with it is really, really what you're talking about is it's the rest of what would the paganism involved in what we worship and what we choose to worship or not worship. It's crazy out there. That's all I can say. People are really getting into this thing. I'll be right back on The Kate Daly Show. More with Dr. Duke Pesta and Uncle Milty when we come back. There you go.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain.
Hey, everybody, just a quick note about gold prices. I just wanted everyone to realize that April 5th, it was gold at $2,305 record day compared to $2,271. Gold is going up, and as we had our guest on from Birch Gold describing last, it's not actually kept up with the inflation amount, so it should be probably around $5,000 an ounce, but it's not. This is the time. Get in before it achieves that. You're going to want to make sure that you have gold and silver on hand. Silver's up today. Just make sure and get in and get to Birch Gold. Birch Gold is who I trust. So I'm telling you, this is who I trust. Get your gold and silver from them. Highly trusted Ron Paul, Steve Bannon, even Donald Trump Jr. go to Birch Gold and are very outspoken about that. I mean, they have the 5-star ratings and been over 20 years in the marketplace. They're also very red-pilled. So this would be an excellent time before it really goes up. It's only going to go up. That's the prediction. If gold is now in a bull market, what is everyone going to pretend bear levels are, right? And we have to really look at the solid data. Protect yourself against inflation, against deflation, against economic uncertainty right now. Just at least text that number and get the information, 989898, and text my name, Kate, as the message. Thanks, you guys.
is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. So happy about that. Love it. And of course, I've got Uncle Milty here. I've got Dr. Duke Pesta. It's a Monday. And make sure and text Birch Gold 989898. Text them my name, Kate. They're going to give you some free information that's really needed right now. They're putting in digital currency in steps, you guys. And we are going to see, the availability of opportunities end to do things like this, to shore up what we have out there with gold. And at least you can shore yourself up against inflation, deflation, or just uncertainty. You can actually put that in solid right now so that you're not worried about it. All the things you have hanging out there, your retirement, your savings, your IRAs, get it solidified by gold. Okay? With gold, I should say. And it's free to do that. Did you know that? It's free to do it. 989898. Just text them and text my name, Kate, and then they'll give you back the information. Okay? Dr. Pesta's with us, and of course, Uncle Milty's here, and you wanted to mention Scotland, Dr. Pesta.
Yeah, I mean, so the people in Scotland elected somebody who's not really even Scottish. You got somebody with deep Muslim roots running that country as the prime minister, and he just forced through legislation that makes it almost impossible to have free speech. They're so protective of certain kinds of minorities. In other words, if you're a typical heterosexual white Scot, no matter what you say or what you think, you're guilty of a hate crime. So much so that J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter's books, she's defending vehemently the right from girls to be girls, and there's no such thing as men becoming girls, protecting girls' sports. She threw it right in their face and said, arrest me for saying it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, the government backed down a little bit, but the laws are still on the books.
Yeah, they are. And what I was laughing not last week about this. Not that, I mean, should we be laughing about it just because it's so diabolical what they're doing? But of all the countries, Scotland, where you have the most vocally rude, blunt people in the face of the earth, this is the people that you do this to. I mean, you go into Scotland, you're going to be probably offended in the first 5 seconds by somebody yelling at you, not thinking they're yelling. So I was just laughing at out of all the countries, this is the country they would do this. Uncle Milty?
I, lassie, don't pee down my leg and call it rain. I mean, what happened to the William Wallaces of,
Are
the Bravehearts?
Yeah.
I mean, just Scotland, wake up. I expect this from the effeminate males of England. I expect it from the rude and rough Irish. But Scotland, are you kidding me?
I mean, come on, Uncle Milty.
Well, there's actually two things wrong here, too. Mm-hmm. Not only the lack of free speech, but then because of celebrity, they let somebody off the hook.
Well said. There's a double standard. Mm-hmm. She's a billionaire with a legal team of 50.
Yep.
They want nothing to do with it. But if you or I, eating our haggis in a local pub, said it, they would use the full force of the power to punish us.
Yep.
That is the truth. What a country. What a country to do this in. So we'll have to see what they do. But my idea was to just keep calling up on the politicians because they have to initiate an investigation by their own rules. So anytime a phone call is made, so if the whole entire country just kept having the politicians investigated, they could tie them up till 2030. We'd be good.
But that's the hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Thousands and thousands of reports came in about the prime minister, and they've just brushed them away. They're not investigating them.
No,
they're laughing about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sick. It's sick. It's a sick thing to have happen. Yeah. So
I would go to prison for sure.
Oh my gosh!
I'd use the S word on them.
I would go to prison, claim to be a woman, be imprisoned with other women, and my sex life would go through the roof.
Oh my gosh! You are not kidding.
I mean, hey. Why not? Here's my advice to every single man out there who's sentenced to prison.
Yeah.
Just immediately identify as a woman.
So true.
No one's going to rape you.
You're right.
You are not going to be beaten up. In fact, if you want to become the big girl, tough guy, apparently there's no consequence for you. So what I'm telling you, if you get arrested as a man, just identify as a woman. You can unidentify when you get out.
Right,
it'll
right.
be much easier in the women's prisons, right?
Well, what does it say about transvestites themselves that they are this upended by a simple person saying, you don't look like a gal, you look like a guy with a beard wearing heels, that they are such sensitive, waif-like people that they have to stand behind this legislation? Why aren't they calling this out? Why aren't they saying anything about this?
Because,
we're not that weak.
Because nobody in their right mind believes them, so they need to use socialist governments to force you to believe
yeah.
them. It's not enough to accept that
yeah.
they are.
Right.
It's not enough to let them live their lives. You have to celebrate.
We'll be right back. Kate Daly Show, don't go anywhere.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. A big welcome to Kate Talks, who's now listening to the show live. And the phone-in number is on the website, katedalyradio.com. You can phone in live, and if you're listening to the show live. And then also, I've got Uncle Milty. I've got Dr. Duke Pesta, who joins us on every Monday, who is the most outspoken conservative professor, one of the only ones left in academia. So we always appreciate his take. And Uncle Milty, let's talk about, by the way, gettomypillow.com. Get your gifts there for graduation and for Mother's Day, Father's Day. Get them early so you get the sizes you need. But the robes, the slippers are amazing. I gave these robes and slippers out, and I am telling you, they still wear them. They still wear them. That's how amazing these things are. And also, the slippers you can wear to the store. They have that sole on them. You can wear them to the store, but they are four clouds of incredible. And also, I just wanted to say that that I'm just telling you, just great stuff. But put in the code Kate, and it helps the show. In fact, let's take a caller real quick. Hi, caller. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate, this is Uncle Milty.
How
are you, everybody? I called last week. I'm down in the basement. I have not seen any sun in the past 4 hours.
What?
I don't know if you remember, but I had a traumatic nightmare many, many moons ago on the last eclipse.
Oh.
And I just call me superstitious.
Okay.
Call me superstitious.
What?
I, on the gender thing,
uh-huh.
I'm an umpire in adult softball,
uh-huh.
and I have a difficult time changing the balls for the different size softballs for boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, no one has asked to use the other gender's ball, but it is a joke that guys want to hit these rocks.
Oh my god!
That are intended for the ladies to hit.
No way! I love that. Thank you so much, caller. Love the call. Thank you. What do you think, Dr. Pesta?
I just think whenever you're talking about transgenderism, it just always comes down to the balls.
Thank you. Thanks, Dr. Pesta, for weighing in on that. Really, really thank you. Uncle Milty,
yeah.
Let's talk women's basketball. That was kind of the weekend treat.
Women's basketball has become the big battleground lately.
Mm-hmm.
The Utah women's basketball team was up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho to play. And there are dozens and dozens and dozens of articles from every source talking about the fact that there was racial slurs
mm-hmm.
used against the Utah women's basketball team. But not one of the articles says what the racial slurs were.
So they weren't really that bad.
Well,
normally they'd lead out with the headline with that.
Yeah, I mean, the only clue given
uh-huh.
is that some outfit mm-hmm. said they saw a rebel flag somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
I,
okay.
I, how serious of an issue is this if they can't say what the slur was?
Well, you know as well as I do that the slur, this is the Utah team, is against white girls. Last year, about the same time, we had BYU, which was a very white team, as you can imagine. And you guys are living in Utah. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
They were playing, I believe it was South Carolina, which is a very black team.
Wonderbread white.
According to all accounts, those black players for South Carolina were using slurs against the white girls. And so how did this adjudicate itself? Well, the black girls defended themselves by saying that people were screaming racist things at them, white people in the audience. Well, hundreds of people had their cell phones recording this. There were mics everywhere. No one's heard a single thing that any of these pasty white Utahns were saying. Yet this is what you see this also with Caitlin Clark, right? I mean, if Caitlin Clark was black, then all these black basketball players would be calling her the greatest ever.
Yep.
But what are they doing to her? They're minimizing they're warning her. Diana Taurasi said, one of the famous women's basketball players who's retired now, she said, well, wait till you get to the big girls. Wait till you get to the next level. Well, you won't be playing against young college girls. Just warning her, right? And then the person who had the female who had the scoring record before her basically said, I still have it. Right. The implication was no white girl's going to take it from me. I mean, the level of ire that you see in the media, because this is a corn fed Iowa girl who's lighting up a lot of these little black girls. We talked earlier in the show about the double standard, right? And this is one of those double standards that somehow basketball belongs to African Americans. This goes all the way back to the 70s and 80s with Larry Bird, for instance, right? I mean, Larry Bird has a great story. He tells about how when he got to Boston as the second pick, everybody was talking to him about all his teammates dismissed him. This white guy's going to come in. And this has been the attitude, right? Same thing with things like rap music.
Right.
This belongs to us. We can do everything you do. And not only should we must be forced in to everything you do, but this belongs to us. These double standards. What Milty said is exactly right. If it were the other way around up in Coeur d'Alene, where a group of white girls were saying racist things about black kids, this would be wall to wall 24/7 news. You can't even find evidence of it in the newspaper because it was the other way.
That's so true, Uncle Milty.
You know, we just got done talking about this ridiculous law in Scotland that affects free speech. This incident in Coeur d'Alene is being investigated as a hate crime, and the only thing they're saying happened were some words were used.
And the thing is the headline will stick forever that this happened there, but no one will ever prove a darn thing, is what you're saying. Yeah.
No.
And I'll go one step further.
Okay.
The Southern Poverty Law Center will add it to its list of white racism across the country without any explanation of what happened.
Yeah, it's like an incident.
And then idiots like Joe Biden and his dumb press secretary will use it as how totally racist this country is and how we have to crack down on white terrorism when everything else is falling apart. That's how they get to this point.
You're right. They'll keep adding it in as an event. It's kind of like school shootings. They were adding in all the superfluous events that were happening in the community miles outside of the schools just to pad the numbers so that they could bring in more cops into the schools, so they could bring in more measures, more filming, more everything, loss of rights. They were doing the same thing with that. So this is how they pad numbers. It's an event. It was never going to be proven, but it's an event, and it will pad the numbers for racism, 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 because they have to have us in a race war right now. Right? They have to.
Yeah. And you said something before we went on the air about gaslighting. What you're seeing across this country now is the left has figured out that we've so dumbed down two generations of Americans that they can pretty much tell any lie they want. And they realize that the bigger the lies they tell, the more it benefits them. whether it's the environment, whether it's about sexuality and gender, whether it's about racism or even the economy, right? Mm-hmm. So they're still looking you in the eye in D.C. and telling you that there's something wrong with you for recognizing how bad it's gotten. You just don't understand how good the economy is. And the sad thing is that right now, at least half of America is willing to completely buy that.
You're exactly right, Uncle Milty.
There's no such thing as a lie anymore.
Well, yeah, because it's just put out in the press, yep. And that's taken as a fact, and then everyone stands by that fact. It's added in as a fact forever and ever. No one will ever seek to change it. So the lies were being told. The economy's fine. It's not. There's a racism war. There's not. All of these lies, just lie after lie.
Yep.
And we just keep accepting it. So.
Well, and the lie that Trump is the one who wants to destroy democracy. Are you kidding me? For 4 years, we've watched Joe Biden undermine the Constitution, undermine our borders, undermine our economy, undermine every aspect of our culture.
You're right.
And yet, he's somehow, he's illegally giving billions and billions away to student loan kids.
Yep.
We'll be right back. More with Dr. Duke Pesta and Uncle Milty.
This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. Over 25 million served. Yes, indeed. Hit that on SoundCloud a while back. So happy to have you. I've got Uncle Milty and Dr. Duke Pesta, of course, rounding out this show today, rounding out the last section of the show. And I want to start off with something that Matt Walsh wrote, if you don't mind. So Matt Walsh did a post, and I want to get your observance, since you're the only professor that we have that is this outspoken, that will say the things that need to be said in America right now, because most of academia is completely bought at this point with total liberals at the helm. And so I can't wait to hear what you have to say. But Dr. Duke Pesta, Matt Walsh said that his kids don't have cell phones. Matt Walsh has been a guest on the show. He said his kids don't have cell phones, and he noticed that when he would take them over to homes where the kids are allowed cell phones, they would come home acting completely different, okay? They wouldn't even speak their language. It was a very, very bizarre thing, because they would come back a little more belligerent, a little more angry, a little more ADD, a little more intense. And then honestly, when he was putting his kids around, and his kids are all ages, young, when he would put his kids around kids that didn't have that, and other kids that were homeschooled that didn't have the cell phones, because that seems to kind of be the stuff out there, is that they would notice that the kids would come back totally fine. Just send them off and they come home totally normal. But when they were around the cell phones, they were jaded and more cynical. It was very, very weird, he said, because it was a detectable difference every single time. So I'd love to know your thoughts on this. And I'd love to know, sitting in the seat that you fill in academia as a professor, what are the differences that you've seen with the kids?
Well, I think that when the history of the fall of the American Republic is written, when people are going through the rubble trying to make sense of why this wonderful society collapsed, I think the number one thing is going to be the smartphone.
Yeah.
And the mistake of allowing little kids smartphones, because they take their cues from those phones. It's not just TikTok, which clearly is designed to warp the minds of children to believe things that are detrimental to a free society. But it's almost the entire functional of the internet. I mean, there's a reason that there's more porn on the internet than almost anything else.
Yeah.
And so literally the cell phone replaces, just like the public schools are trying to do, with less success. The cell phone actually becomes the parent.
Right.
It allows them to do every single thing that the parents won't let them do. It allows them a whole world of adult things that the parents would never see to. They owe allegiance to it. They are guided by it. And I see these 20 and 21-year-old college kids. They are lost without their phones.
Right.
I mean, this is a generation that has every fact available in the world literally 5 seconds away from their fingertips, but they're helpless without it. They can't read really well. They certainly can't write. They have no critical thinking skills. Mm-hmm. Many of my college kids right now have never read a book cover to cover in high school. When they get to college, they have never read and sat down a single book. And so the tragedy is that even if some of those kids were able to realize what's been done to them, they no longer have the ability to go to a library and find out the truth. These are kids now, and this is what's so dangerous. This is the first generation I've seen that even if you convince them that they've been lied to and manipulated, they have no independent ability to figure it out for themselves. Again, they can't pick up a book. They can't contemplate this. They can't think themselves out of it. So you've literally created what the socialists always wanted, a highly ignorant populace, completely devoted to technology and unable to see anything beyond what they're programmed to see. And now with the advent of AI, it's even worse. Now they don't even have to think for themselves.
You're right.
That whatever AI flashes to them, and I'm telling you, 85 to 90% of my university kids are everything they turn in is AI. They're not even, they know how to enter the question, and whatever's barked out, they don't even bother to, they don't even have the intelligence to go back to the copy, the actual text of AI and fix it for its obvious logical mistakes, because they don't know the mistakes either.
They don't know the logic. And so, and here was the, I thank you for that. Here, it's scary. Here was the other thing too, was Matt was telling his kids, it's okay to stand out. It's okay to be different, because the pressure that they were under as these kids were like, I have a cell phone and you don't, you're just the scrub of the earth. And he said, it's okay to stand out. You don't have to go along with the crowd. And that is the biggest pressure of all. Uncle Milty?
My fear about this is that with cell phones with you constantly, how prevalent is subliminal messaging that's coming across those to the kids?
So the whole idea that you're out if you're not in the crowd, and that. Will you speak
to
both of
those? Well, what scares me, and I think Milty makes a great point, but I think we're past the point where the advertising has to be subliminal.
Right.
I think, honestly, a lot of these kids aren't smart enough. They're not educated enough to be influenced by the subtext. And that's why things like TikTok, for instance, is so graphic, because the subtle doesn't work with them anymore.
Right.
And that's alarming. That's what I see in the school, right? Okay. That this is a generation that's being led by the nose, and they don't realize that they have any power to deviate.
Yes, Uncle Milty?
Well, ignorance, it makes you more susceptible to all of these things. So and so that's true. The whole intention of destroying the education
system. And like you said, they can't work out what's not logical in the AI.
No.
So they think the AI is going to nail it because they can't themselves. They can't think outside the box themselves.
And we've said for many years on your program that socialism is a religion. Yeah. And what you described is religion, that they take with absolute faith what programmed AI says. And so when AI says that Jesus was a great supporter of transgenderism, when AI says that the Bible is a racist book, when that's all they need to know, right?
You're right.
Because their faith is, it's medieval. That faith, right?
You're exactly right.
And it's a surrender of its own individuality to the cult.
You're exactly right on that. I can't argue that one bit. And I feel like the parents today are under the pressure because of other kids. The kid comes home and says, I have to have this, just like they did with all the gaming, right? And I remember with my kids, we didn't buy all the gaming stuff. We bought sports equipment so they'd go outside. And so it's up to the parents to be parents. Start being parents. You tell them what's up. You have them until that age of 18, and you get to dictate that. And don't let the peer pressure dictate you as a parent as well as the kid.
Well, it's the same thing. It's, I'm sorry. It's the same trap with the public schools.
Right.
The public schools are winning because parents know they're bad, but they don't want to have to educate their own kids.
You're right.
And it's three times as bad with the cell phones. They know that too much of that cell phone is bad. But look at how much it frees mom and dad not to have to pay attention to the kids.
No, right? You're right.
That's
you're
why we're losing this, because we know what the problems are, but we're not going to put our kids first.
So true. Uncle Milty?
I wish we could bring back Ma Bell and the old telephone system.
I know, right? The long cord standing in the closet trying to have a conversation. Thanks, you guys, and be faithful, be fearless. Thanks, Dr. Pesta and Uncle Milty, and we'll be back tomorrow. So same time, same station. Be right back tomorrow. Thanks, you guys. KateDallyRadio.com.